I'm sure you need all the assistance you can get just now. Good night.
Got nerve. I'll say that for him.
Most madmen do, Watson.
I don't suppose you want me to try and follow him, do you? You know, find out where he's hiding up.
I prefer not, old friend.
So we just let him walk away, as it were.
Only for the time being. You know, he was right about one thing.
What's that?
As yet, we have no proof that he is the man who has placed half London in the grip of fear.
He's the Pimlico poisoner, all right. We both know that.
Undoubtedly. But I suspect a judge may well take the opposite view.
Surely there's something we can do.
I'm sure there is. And just as surely we will find it. Now, Watson, I hope you have a head for heights.
How do you mean?
I'm hardly in a position to climb up into the cabby's seat.
Oh, I see. No, I suppose not. Oh, well. You better get on with it. Oh, how I'm going to find Baker Street in this fog, Lord only knows. Yeah. Come on, then. Gee up!
There you are, Watson.
Morning, Holmes.
I was expecting you at least 20 minutes ago.
I thought I'd have a bit of a stroll. Fog's lifted, sun's shining. Wonderful morning.
Telegram for you.
Me?
From Lestrade. Seems Cream tried to obtain some more strychnine.
No.
Chemist in the Vauxhall Bridge Road. Lestrade wants you to meet him there.
What on earth for?
You're the medical man. No doubt he needs your expert opinion on some matter.
I see. Well, yes, I'm sure I can point him in the right direction, as it were.
You don't mind, then?
Oh, not at all. How's the leg today?
Oh, no problem at all.
Good. I just thought all that activity last night.
No damage done, I assure you.
Well, glad to hear it. Yeah. Better be off, then. Be as quick as I can. Expert opinion, eh?
Moment. Come in. Ah, Mrs. Hudson. Surely it can't be lunchtime already.
Not yet, Mr. Holmes. You have a visitor.
Indeed.
Mr. Ian Mercell.
Ian Mercell? With two L, of course.
I don't know about that, but I've got a feeling.
That you've seen him before?
That's right.
I'm sure you have, Mrs. Hudson. Show him in, please.
This way.
Thank you. Good day, Mr. Holmes.
Good day to you, Mr. Mercell. Thank you, Mrs. Hudson.
Very good, sir.
I have the impression I've been expected.
Lestrade would have sent a cab, not a telegram.
And you obviously realize it was better that I see you without Dr. Watson being present.
I agree that my colleague would be more inclined to indulge in some physical act of aggression against you than I.
May I sit down?
Please do. The far chair.
Certainly. But you need have no fears for your safety, I assure you. Besides, I see you have your sword stick to hand. I've no doubt you know how to use it.
What is the purpose of your visit?
I've come to congratulate you, Mr. Holmes.
Really? You were hardly in such a generous mood on the last occasion we
met. That was last night. A good night's sleep has helped me to form a different picture. You're clever, Holmes. Damned clever. Of course, there was no danger of your catching me last night, but I had the feeling that were there to be similar occasions in the future, and should Lady Luck happen to be smiling on you, then I could be in danger of losing my liberty.
What exactly are you saying?
That I enjoy a challenge, but I prefer the odds to remain firmly in my favor. England is a small country. Where I am concerned, you make it even smaller. I am moving on.
So, you admit defeat?
Hardly. I still have my liberty.
Not for much longer, I assure you.
You played from a weak hand, Mr. Holmes. Perhaps in time. But I feel discretion should be the better part of valor. Which is why I have decided to move on.
To where?
The continent. It offers two distinct advantages. More room and no Sherlock Holmes.
I should feel flattered.
You may feel whatever you please.
And yet I find it difficult, if not impossible, to believe you.
That is no concern of mine.
I think you're running away.
Hardly running, Mr. Holmes. I shall catch the boat train whenever I please.
With only two successful poisonings.
I have no regrets.
And one failure. Your efforts in Lupus Street hardly do you credit, Creighton.
A temporary setback. Nothing more.
Hardly a setback. By your own admission, a somewhat pathetic end.
Why, Mr. Holmes, I do believe you may be trying to persuade me to stay.
On the contrary, if Lupus Street is the best you can do, I, for one, will be glad to see the back of you.
Have a care, sir. I came here in all good faith. I would prefer to leave that way.
You may leave any way you choose. The sooner the better, as far as I'm concerned.
I will not be provoked, Mr. Holmes. I have the greatest respect for your abilities. And have no doubt you have enjoyed the intellectual pleasure of our dealings as much as I.
Intellectual pleasure? You flatter yourself, Cream. If those pathetic anagrams of yours are the nearest you get to intellectual pleasure, your mind must be even more diseased than I thought.
I'm warning you, Holmes.
I can think of no better time for you to leave for the continent, as there's no doubt in my mind that should you attempt to continue in this imbecilic, amateurish way, you will have as good as put the hangman's noose around your own neck. Or you'll end up in the lunatic asylum, which is undoubtedly where you belong.
You pay for that!
One step further, Cream, and I shall put a bullet right between your eyes. Exactly, my friend. A sword stick needs mobility. A revolver, merely a steady hand and an excellent eye. And I assure you, I have both.
You wouldn't dare. Not here.
Perhaps you'd care to put that to the test.
That would be murder.
I hardly think the destruction of vermin would be considered a capital offense.
Very well, Holmes. Now listen carefully.
I should prefer not to listen to your ranting scream. Just close the door on your way out. There's a good chap.
You pay for this, Holmes! I swear that within 24 hours, you'll wish you'd never heard of my name.
For heaven's sake, Holmes, we have to talk about this. For my own part, I don't mind being sent on some wild goose chase. But when your very life is threatened by this madman, the least you can do is take it seriously.
Oh, really? Holmes, you might stop your fiddling when I'm trying to talk to you.
Fiddling, Watson? I may only have paid 55 shillings at a broker's in Tottenham Court Road for this instrument, but it is a Stradivarius. However, although I am perfectly willing to conduct our conversation in this delightful manner, obviously you are not. There, Watson. You have my undivided attention.
Pleased to hear it.
Well?
Damn it all, Holmes. The man has threatened your life.
Better my life than some innocent person on the other side of the channel.
You don't seem in the least concerned.
On the contrary, I am most concerned. I simply refuse to let it deprive me of my pleasures. Few though they may be.
But surely, I mean, don't you think we should inform Lestrade?
The last person I would inform of my present predicament. Lestrade has many admirable qualities, but the subtle art of giving protection without advertising his presence is one which, alas, I fear has passed him by.
But you can't just sit here and wait for Cream to make his move.
Can you suggest a more comfortable place?
Well, you may not be concerned for your own safety, but I can assure you that there are those amongst us who do care. Care very much indeed.
My dear Watson. Good, faithful friend. My only real concern is that my actions may put at risk one I hold in the deepest esteem and affection.
After all we've been through together,
The least I can do.
But as I know neither when nor where my adversary will make his move, I have no alternative but to endeavour to keep my spirits up.
Put on a brave front, that sort of thing.
Exactly.
Well, I suppose it's for the best.
And even better when one has eaten well. So, if you'd be good enough to open the door for Mrs. Hudson, I fancy I hear her step on the stairs.
Yes, of course.
Bearing the supper tray, I trust.
Must say, I'm feeling a bit peckish myself.
Dr. Watson, you made me jump.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Hudson. Perhaps I
can... I can manage, thank you. Be ashamed to drop it now.
Is that game pie I see, Mrs. Hudson?
It is.
Excellent. And the cup that cheers, too.
Well, I don't know about that, but this bottle comes with Mr. Lestrade's compliments. Come this afternoon when I was out.
Very generous of him.
I'll put the tray down here. I'm sure you can do the rest, Doctor.
I'll take care of our patient, Mrs. Hudson. Don't you worry about that.
Then I wish you'd hurry up and get him back on his feet again. I've lost count of the number of times I've been up and down these stairs in the past 6 weeks. Must have worn at least one pair of shoes out, to say nothing of a linoleum.
You see, it's all your fault, Watson. I knew you hadn't been taking care of me properly.
Anyone who has you for a patient, Holmes, deserves a medal.
At the very least. Now, we have some serious business to attend to. Let me see the cook.
I don't know why you don't just look at the label.
A wine label is merely for confirmation of one's sensory analysis. There would be little point in developing an acute sense of smell if it were not to be put to the test from time to time. Now, let me see. Well, now, a claret, of course, but undoubtedly an aristocrat.
Yes, possibly. Year?
All in good time, Watson. We must start with the grape. 70% to 80% Merlot and... Ah, yes. Boucher for the balance. Now, that tells us immediately we are not merely in Bordeaux, but at the very shrine of claret. Pomerol itself. Chateau Petrus, of course. As for the year... Another 12 months and it might well have faded, but right now... 15 years of perfection. 1876. Am I right?
Of course.
Then I claim my reward.
Eh? Oh, yes. Of course. Didn't know Lestrade had such good taste in wine. Very generous of him. Must have cost him a pretty penny. There you are, Holmes. Holmes?
What? Oh, yes. Thank you.
Well, ours is not to reason why. Here's to Lestrade.
And Chateau Petrus. No! Holmes, what's come over you?
I should have known straight away.
Known what?
That neither Lestrade's financial situation nor his taste in claret extends to Chateau Petrus.
Well, perhaps not, but knocking the glass from my hand like that, I mean...
Even though it contains such a deadly vintage?
Deadly?
The inevitable result of mixing Merlot, Boucher, and Nux Vomica, the St. Ignatius bean, or any other variety of the Lageniaceae family.
Strychnine.
The very same.
But who? Neil Cream.
Certainly the only person I know insane enough to molest the noblest claret of them all. And he was good enough to reassure me of his intention to point out the error of my ways within 24 hours. He's been as good as his word.
Strychnine.
I shall have to analyze it, of course, but I should be most surprised if my diagnosis were to prove incorrect.
But I might have...
Precisely, Watson. Or, more importantly, from Neil Crean's point of view, I should be the one who, even now, should be gasping my last breath as the poison took its deadly hold.
But all's well that ends well. No harm done.
All is well, yes. But hardly the end, Watson. In fact, merely the beginning of a long night's work.
Really... What had you in mind?
My demise.
Good Lord.
At this very moment, Neil Cream undoubtedly believes me to be as good as dead. A misconception I feel we can turn to our advantage.
What did you have in mind, Holmes?
My obituary, Watson. After which, you and Lestrade will visit Victoria Station to make preparations for Mr. Cream's imminent departure to the continent. But first... I must prepare a sketch of a certain piece of apparatus for the only person in London who would undertake a commission of this nature at so late an hour. Jeremiah Fogg in the Whitechapel Road.
You
As I had a long night ahead of me, Holmes insisted I eat as much of Mrs. Hudson's game pie as I could comfortably accommodate, while he hastily prepared the documentation I would need to carry out his various commissions. My first call had been Scotland Yard, where I left a message for Lestrade to contact Holmes as a matter of the utmost urgency, after which my conversations with such Fleet Street editors as were still at their places of work established that their morning editions would carry the headlines that Neil Cream was undoubtedly awaiting with considerable eagerness. My third task brought me to that part of London that will forever be associated with the terror of the so-called Ripper murders. The dimly lit streets, the impenetrable menace of the maze of alleyways that lay behind them, and above all, the unaccountably threatening atmosphere that always descended with the darkness. It was not without some trepidation, therefore, that I left the comparative sanctuary of my cab and proceeded down a narrow passage at the end of which I would find, or so my driver had assured me, the premises of the man Holmes had sent me to see.
What do you want?
Jeremiah Fogg.
And if I am?
Then I have a commission for you.
Come back in the morning.
Please, Mr. Fogg. Open the door. I must speak with you.
I told you to come back in the morning.
The job is urgent. It must be done tonight.
Oh, by me it won't. Now look what you've done. Get up here. Go on, get out of here.
I come from Sherlock Holmes.
Do you now? Said so straight away.
Well, I had.
Come on, get inside. All your world knowing my business.
Oh, yes, of course. I'm sorry, I didn't realize.
It's better. Just you, me, and the dog. Now, what does Mr. Holmes want?
He made this drawing for you.
Give us it here. Ah. Yeah, I see. That should be all right. Come back in an hour.
I'd prefer to wait, if you don't mind.
Suit yourself.
An hour, you say?
Yeah, about that.
Very well, I shall wait in the cab. Wait, sir. Perhaps you would like payment in advance.
Oh, there's no charge. Not for Mr. Holmes.
The hour spent waiting in the cab was one of the longest of my life. I am not given to exaggeration, although I would admit to the occasional embellishment when chronicling some of the adventures Holmes and I have shared, but the threatening nature of that particular part of our great metropolis unnerved me to such an extent that I occasionally called out to the cabby to reassure myself that I was not entirely alone. But having eventually collected a small package from Jeremiah Fogg, I was much relieved to find myself once more in the sanctuary of our Baker Street rooms, where I found Holmes instructing Lestrade on the precise part he was to play in the events of the next day.
There you are, Watson. Oh. Lestrade and I were just thinking of sending out a search party for you.
Oh, quite right, Mr. Holmes. I mean, Doctor. Gentleman at your disposition, out by himself at 1 o'clock in the morning. Well, anything might have happened to you.
Say, steady on. I know how to look after myself, you know.
Of course you do, Watson. And for my money, there's no one I'd rather have by my side when danger threatens.
Dear chap.
And make no mistake, we play a dangerous game. A game which should be resolved tomorrow, one way or the other.
We'll be ready for him, Mr. Holmes.
I don't doubt it, Lestrade. Now, Watson, I presume the package you carry is from Jeremiah Fogg.
Yes.
There you are.
A queer sort of cove.
Well, they do say 10 years in prison can affect one's personality.
Prison? Well, you didn't tell me he'd been in prison.
We mustn't hold a man's past against him, eh, Lestrade?
Oh, indeed not, Mr. Holmes.
You don't know what he was sent down for? Well,
let me see now. Some sort of assault charge, as I recall.
A robbery with violence, surely.
With some grievous bodily harm thrown in, I shouldn't wonder.
Good Lord.
That's some sort of grievance, as I remember.
Grudge against the whole medical profession, I think.
Yeah, always swore he'd get even.
You didn't say you were a doctor, did you, Watson?
Well, no, I don't think so.
No, couldn't have done.
Wouldn't be here now, if you had.
Good heavens. Do you mean to say that
Oh, you don't think you say that. You don't think you...
Oh, I see.
Yes, most certainly.
My dear Watson, my dear friend, please forgive me.
Nothing to forgive, is there? I can take a joke as well as the next fellow. No, don't worry about me.
Please, Watson, we were laughing at the situation, not at you.
Yes, I can see that. I'm glad you enjoyed it. So, what's in the package, then? A kosh? Razor? Something like that?
Far from it. Jeremiah Fogg is a master craftsman, a glassblower of extraordinary ability. Behold his latest creation.
So that's what I went for.
To do with one of your chemistry experiments, is it, Mr. Holmes?
Close, Lestrade. In fact, Fogg has fashioned much of the apparatus you see on my bench over there.
Yeah.
No. These two glass tubes and the minute bridge that connects them have been designed to help bring a murderer to justice.
Really? Dashed if I can... How's he going to do that?
Well, unless I'm very much mistaken, all will be revealed tomorrow morning.
Or rather, this morning. Time you were off to Stroud.
Oh, right.
You too, Watson.
Where are we going?
Victoria Station. You're quite clear as to what has to be done, Lestrade.
Perfectly, Mr. Holmes.
Good. And remember, it's almost certain to be the 9:30 boat train.
Yeah, I'll make sure everything's ready. Come along then, Doctor. We've got a busy night ahead of us.
Very well. I suppose I'll be told what's going on eventually. What will you be doing then, Holmes?
Me? I shall be in my bed.
Oh, will you now?
Yes, indeed. If my next meeting with the Pimlico poisoner is to be our final encounter, which will, of course, depend on the effect of the headlines in this morning's newspapers, then I shall need all my wits about me. Good night, gentlemen.
Excuse me, Constable.
Yes, love?
I was wondering. That is, you see, my eyesight isn't what it used to be, so I don't read the newspapers anymore.
Yes?
But I overheard some people talking, and, oh, do say it isn't true.
Well, what's that mean?
Mr. Sherlock Holmes, they said he was dead.
Afraid so, love.
Oh, no.
Looks like the work of this Pimlico poisoner again.
Oh, how dreadful. Poor Mr. Holmes.
There's a lot of folk that are missing.
Yes, indeed. Oh, now what am I going to do?
Now, you mustn't go upsetting yourself.
No, it's not that. I have a train to catch, you see, and I seem to have mislaid Victoria's gate.
Platform 4, change at Ashford.
Thank you so much.
Right. Where to, madam?
Oh, I have my ticket already.
I'm very pleased to hear that, madam. Is there something else I can help you with?
It's my sciatica, you see. And I do have this bag to carry.
If you care to call a porter, madam, you'll get all the assistance you need. Next, please.
But there doesn't seem to be a porter available.
I'm sorry, madam, but as you can see, I am...
Perhaps you would be so kind.
I'm sorry, madam, I can't leave the office.
Then perhaps your colleague, the young man sitting in there with you.
No, I'm afraid he's not free either, madam. Now, if you would kindly stand aside, there are people waiting for tickets.
But surely your friend wouldn't mind helping me. I'd be so grateful.
I'll take her to the train. You'll never get rid of her otherwise. Thanks, Sergeant. Who said our policemen are never there when you want them? There's someone coming round to help you, madam.
How kind.
So if you could just step aside. There are other people waiting for tickets.
Oh, I'm so sorry. How a thoughtless, Sergeant.
Right then, which platform?
The boat train. This is most kind of you.
Glad to be of service. Now, I'll take your bag. There we are. And if you'd like to take my arm?
How charming. Thank you so much.
Off to Paris, are you?
Not if I can avoid it.
I'd take your... What the... Good heavens. Mr. Holmes.
Not so loud, Sergeant Woodthorpe. I'm supposed to be dead.
I know, sir, but, I mean, why are you dressed up like that?
I know of nothing better to disguise the fact that one's leg is cased in plaster than the voluminous folds of a lady's skirt. Although I do admit to an aversion to wearing all the other garments of the complete ensemble of the opposite sex, particularly this somewhat ridiculous hat.
I don't know, Mr. Holmes. It rather suits you.
That will do, Woodthorpe. Tell me, is our man on the train?
He is. Like you said, sir. We told him there was only a private carriage left.
And he took it?
Didn't give it a second thought.
Lestrade and Watson, are they ready?
just like you instructed.
Tickets, please. Have your tickets ready, please.
Have you got a ticket, Mr. Holmes?
My bag, please.
Hey? Oh, yes. There we are.
Now, where did I put... Ah, yes. Here we are.
Thank you, madam.
And one platform ticket. He's my nephew, you know.
Thank you, madam. Have your tickets ready, please. All tickets, please.
Thank you, auntie.
Enjoy the relationship while you can, Woodthorpe. I'm sure Inspector Lestrade will be anxious to know you have played your part in the appropriate manner.
Quite, sir. Begging your pardon, sir, how's that leg of yours?
The sciatic or the plaster one?
The one in plaster.
I'm certainly looking forward to sitting down in a first-class smoker for an hour or two.
But this coach, sir, third compartment down.
The door, if you would be so kind.
Good luck, sir.
Aren't you going to say goodbye to your aunt, Woodthorpe?
Oh, yes. Take care of yourself, auntie. Have a good trip.
Thank you, dear. And make sure you're a good boy while I'm away. Good morning.
I'm sorry, ma'am. This is a private carriage.
Oh, now, I don't object to your smoking, but do open the window a little.
I repeat, ma'am, this is a private carriage.
I'll just pull down the blinds on the corridor side. And then no one need wonder why an old lady has her leg in plaster, her feet on the opposite seat.
And can't wait to take off the ridiculous hat she's wearing.
Well, congratulations, Mr. Holmes. You had me completely fooled.
As obviously did the headlines in this morning's newspaper.
Yes, indeed. Masterly stroke, but... forgive me, I fail to see what you hope to gain from this little charade of yours, albeit so admirably performed.
My dear Cream, it's a simple matter of redressing the balance. You got the better of me in Looper Street. I can return the compliment at Victoria Station.
Of course. I should have expected nothing less from so worthy an opponent. You're about to leave, Mr. Holmes. Forgive me if I let an old lady find her own way onto the platform.
The next platform on which I intend to alight is that of Dover. You don't think I could allow such an illustrious adversary to leave these shores without showing my appreciation of an intellect which, though I am reluctant to admit it, comes near to matching that of my own.
Praise indeed. For my part, Holmes, I welcome the diversion your conversation will provide on an otherwise dreary journey, but I warn you, if you have subterfuge in mind, have a care. I am in no mood to be trifled with. Although, even you must now have accepted that there is no evidence against me, and no legal reason why I should not leave England in the manner in which I arrived, a free man.
Regrettable, but true. Now, as I have forced my company on you, I feel I must provide some of the diverting conversation you have so generously ascribed to me. There is one story you may find particularly amusing. It was a case I investigated a few years ago on behalf of Lord... perhaps he had better remain incognito. Now, originally, I had been called in to establish the whereabouts of a distant relative with whom his lordship was anxious to renew his acquaintance. But my subsequent inquiries revealed a very strange circumstance. Tangible evidence I had was the fact that the incorrect grade of lubricating oil had been applied to the flywheel. His lordship was generous enough to admit I was right, and paid my fee there and then.
So there was no missing relative?
And no crime. Although, I do feel that the caprices in which certain members of our aristocratic families indulge themselves should be dealt with by a stiffer sentence than mere expulsion from their clubs.
Capital, Holmes. I should have loved to have seen his lordship's face when you showed him the empty bread bin.
It was rather amusing. Oh, that reminds me, Cream. Talking of bread bins, a toast. I thought we might drink to the recent skirmishes we have enjoyed, in which neither of the best men won.
I doubt if the dining car could supply a vintage worthy of the occasion. Perhaps a dope.
Yes, I anticipated that. And I took the liberty... Yes. Here it is. Of bringing a bottle that may just live up to your expectations. Admittedly, not quite as noble as the one you sent round to me last night, but nevertheless, it should suffice.
Come now, Holmes. You don't seriously expect me to drink from any bottle of wine.
you produce?
And surely you don't expect me to be so naive as to attempt to deceive you by using your methods. Apart from which, I could never bring myself to adulterate the contents of such a distinguished label for Glenn's.
You know, I almost believe you. I'd certainly like to fit an end to our relationship.
Nothing would please me more. But, as you obviously require more substantial proof of my motives, we will first remove the cork. I should have opened this earlier, of course. And then somewhere... Ah, yes. Here we are. Two of Mrs. Hudson's very best glasses. There. Now, the colour, magnificent. The bouquet, oh, superb. And the taste, oh, words fail me. Do you know, Cream, I should be rather pleased if you did force me to keep this bottle to myself, though, would I still be able to negotiate the platform at Dover?
All right, Holmes, you win. I'd be happy to drink with you.
I'm very pleased to hear it. There.
Thank you.
I drink to a master.
And I drink to the world's greatest consulting detective. Your health, Mr. Holmes.
And yours, Mr. Creek.
You're right. A splendid wine.
Then let me refill your glass.
Thank you.
So, you moved to pastures new.
Indeed. I've always dreamed of going to Paris.
You realize that Inspector Lestrade will be sending details of your recent activities here to the French authorities.
I expect nothing less.
I have a mind to advise him against it.
Now, why should you wish to do that?
Well, quite simply because I'm not entirely convinced you are what the more sensational elements of our popular press have come to refer to as the Pimlico poisoner.
Really? And what has led you to that conclusion?
Well, the fact that we have no proof. Not one shred of evidence to link you with these murders. Apart from your sojourn in the Illinois State Penitentiary, which did, as I recall, start with the illegal use of strychnine.
True, you have no proof as far as Lestrade is concerned, but between you and me, surely no proof is required. We both know.
Well, that is my dilemma. I'm not sure that I do. Not for certain.
Why?
Let me explain. Suppose, just suppose, mind you, that you are not the murderer, but you were so fascinated with the crimes that were baffling the police that you decided to capitalize on their inability to solve them by embarking on an intellectual duel with myself.
Hardly likely.
But perfectly plausible.
Then tell me this. Why did I take the place of the police coachman in Lupus Street that night?
Sheer effrontery. Also to make me believe that you were the murderer. I must say, you very nearly succeeded.
All right. How did I know exactly where to be that night? How could I have known an attempted murder would take place at exactly 10 o'clock?
Yes. Yes, I thought about that. I can only conclude that not only did you set up the false alarm at the far end of the street, but you also persuaded another young lady to scream at the top of her voice 10 minutes
what
later.
Nonsense!
Not only that, you also paid her enough to make up some cock and bull story about a large man with whiskers and a bottle of white liquid.
Make no mistake, Holmes, I am the Pimlico poisoner. And if it's proof you want, listen very carefully to the following facts. Facts that did not appear in the newspapers. Alan Dodsworth, 19, yes, but born in Bradford, not Leeds. 4 months pregnant at the time of death. Orphan, Matilda Clover, music hall artist, favorite food, oysters, favorite drink, champagne. Father, a lighterman, brother, a waiter, mother, dead.
How'd you know all this?
Because they talked to me. They talked to me before. Before I made them drink.
And what did you make them drink? Whiskey? Gin?
I made them drink from my bottle.
Which contains?
Strychnine. So now do you believe me? Or do you need further proof?
No. I think that should be sufficient.
All right, Watson, Lestrade, you can come in now.
What is this? What are you doing?
Making you feel better. They do say confession is good for the soul.
This won't work, Holmes.
We shall see. May I introduce Inspector Lestrade of Scotland Yard, Dr. Watson, you know.
Neil Cream, I arrest you for the murder of Ellen Dodsworth and Matilda Clover.
Do you now?
It is my duty to warn you that anything you say...
I've heard all that before. On what grounds are you making these charges?
Your confession, Mr. Cream.
It's my word against yours, Holmes.
And that of Lestrade and Watson.
Really? Are they prepared to perjure themselves?
Not at all. They overheard every word you said from the next compartment.
Every word. Clear as a bell.
Both of us.
Come, gentlemen, you stretch my patience too far. Apart from the noise of the train, there are two seats and a partition to prevent you hearing one single word.
I think not. If you please, Lestrade.
Certainly, Mr. Holmes.
Behold, the next compartment. No partition, no second seat to muffle the sound. Well done, Lestrade. You too, Watson. A splendid night's work.
As I was saying, you are not obliged to say anything.
You really believe this will stand up in court?
Three against one? No longer simply my word against yours.
But the word of three people whose reputation demands they put someone on trial for the Pimlico poisonings at any cost? Why, any defense lawyer worth his salt would have your testimony thrown out. And you know it.
I admit there is some element of risk in sending you to trial on the evidence of your confession alone.
Risk? You'd be laughed out of court.
Which is why your dying deposition will carry much more weight.
Explain yourself.
A dying deposition? Or a statement taken from an accused man when he believes himself to be near to death, is regarded in law as a valid testimony. Is that not so, Lestrade?
Well, yes, Mr. Holmes, but I hardly think...
Even better when recorded by a priest, of course, but with the good doctor here.
I admire your tenacity, Mr. Holmes. Why, I'd even like to oblige you by giving you one of those dire depositions. However, as I have no intention of breathing my last for many years to come, I must forego that pleasure.
We shall see. Watson, One glass of wine taken from a bottle containing 1/5 of a grain of strychnine, how long would you say? 30 minutes?
Less than that. 20 at the most.
Which leaves you about 10 minutes, Crewe. 10 minutes in which to come to terms with your conscience.
You really must be desperate to expect me to believe this bluff of yours, Holmes. We drank from the same bottle. I doubt if even you would make the supreme sacrifice to prove I am a murderer.
Heaven forbid. I have far more important things to do. But let me show you something. A perfectly ordinary bottle on the outside. But when I put my finger down into the neck... Ah, yes, there we are. Not quite so ordinary on the inside. What was the trade of Jeremiah Fogg, Watson?
Glass blower, wasn't it?
Master glass blower. And here we have the perfect example of his art. Two slender glass tubes connected at the bottom and bridged at the top, and one of them blown into a small bowl. And of exactly the right dimension and delicacy to pass through the neck of the bottle, but to remain unseen to all but the most astute observer. Ah, I see I have your attention, Mr. Green. Let me explain. Before inserting the apparatus, I filled it with a glass of the claret as it left the chateau. Naturally, that was the glass I drank. But the second glass, the contents of which now rest in your stomach, Mr. Green, was unfortunately tainted by a certain substance with which I believe you have more than a passing acquaintance, to wit, strychnine.
You may wish to speak to Inspector Lestrade now.
Kill you for this, Holmes.
I'll kill you!
Stop him, Doctor!
Get his other arm!
Too strong for me.
He's choking Holmes to death.
The bottle, Doctor. Hit him with the bottle.
I can't reach him.
You'll never take me alive.
May the devil take the lot of you.
You better. Can you get the door shut, Miss Clark?
I'll try.
Are you all right, Holmes?
Holmes!
I killed him, Watson. I sent him to his death.
You have indeed, Mr. Holmes. Had I known, I'd never have let you take the law into your own hands like this.
But surely... Surely he was a dead man as soon as he drank the wine.
A bottle of Mambuske may well take away one's breath, but never permanently.
You mean... There was no strychnine.
Precisely.
But all that stuff about the glass and Jeremiah Fogg.
It worked rather well, didn't it?
too well.
Oh, come, Holmes. You can't blame yourself for the death of a man like that, a murderer.
Can't I? I cheated him by making him think he was dying. He cheated me by taking his life into his own hands. I killed him, Watson! I will never forgive myself for that.
What do we do now, Lestrade?
I'm not quite sure, Doctor. I've never pulled the emergency chain before.
No! You in, did she?
Well, perhaps I should have waited downstairs.
No, perfectly all right. Just in time to welcome home my ex-patient. In you come, Holmes. Show us all how well you can walk now.
Really, Watson, I would prefer not to be treated like a four-year-old. Good morning to you, Lestrade.
Morning, Mr. Holmes.
Now, I think you can make it to the chair by yourself.
For pity's sake, Watson, if this is a sample of your bedside manner, I shall be careful never to display any symptoms of whatever ails before me in the future.
See what I've had to endure all these weeks, Lestrade. Oh. What a patient.
Well, I'm sure it must be a great relief to you, Mr. Holmes. Getting that plaster off, I mean.
You will never know how much. Now, what brings you to Baker Street?
Well, I seem to have come just at the right time. You being back on your feet, as it were. Scotland Yard have need of your services again.
Excellent. Delighted to hear it. Like to keep busy. Anything to keep my mind off that depressing business yesterday.
Well, this could well have something to do with yesterday's business.
You'd better tell me about it.
Well, sir, after the train stopped and I'd organised the coach to take you and Dr. Watson back to Ashford, Woodthorpe and I and some of his men, we searched the line for his body.
And?
We didn't find it. Well, as you know, the London train passed us just after we'd stopped, so I thought the body might have been pushed down the line a bit.
Well?
We covered 5 miles, both sides of the tracks. No sign of it.
But he must be there. Probably rolled down the embankment, lying under a bush or something.
Well, that's what I thought, sir. Sergeant Woodthorpe and his men are still searching.
Then I don't see how I can help, Lestrade. I may have had my plaster cast removed this morning, but even I would not be so foolhardy as to go scrambling in and out of the undergrowth looking for Neil Cream's body.
That's not what I had in mind, Mr. Holmes. You see, we had a report in from the Kent Constabulary this morning. Well, more a request for assistance, you might say. Seems they had a murder last night. Young lady near Ashford. Poisoned. With strychnine.
The Adventure of the Pimlico Poisoner, Sherlock Holmes was played by William Chubb, Dr. Watson by Crawford Logan, and Neil Cream by Peter Harlow. Inspector Lestrade was Terry Malloy, Mrs. Hudson, Tina Gray, Sergeant Woodthorpe, Chris MacDonald, and Constable Billings, Alex Jones. Jeannie Thompson was played by Kimberly Hope, Jeremiah Fogg by Roger Hume, and Matilda Clover by Susan Mansell. Holmes Stradivarius was played by Roger Coole. The Adventure of the Pimlico Poisoner was written by Peter Mackey and directed at Pebble Mill by Nigel Bryant.